2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
All right, welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday. Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. Let's keep it locked here to KSL News Radio for emergency traffic updates and also the latest news. There was a in the news report we heard that, you know, obviously the passing of Larry King today, and it got me thinking, Matt. You know, I was telling producer Dallin this before the show today here at the broadcast house. Did you know Larry King used to go to some BYU football games back in like the early 2000s?
I did not. Wow.
Yeah, he was a brother-in-law to a former starting BYU quarterback. Do you remember this?
Brother-in-law to a former BYU starting quarterback. It doesn't ring a bell.
It was Brett Ingeman. He was a brother-in-law. And Larry King would come to some BYU football games. I think he was at the BYU-Syracuse game in like 2002, because that was when Ingeman got the start that year. They beat the Syracuse Orangemen back in the day. But, yeah, I always finding a way, Matt, to bring any sort of news into the world of BYU here on Cougar Sports Saturday. That's what we do here on KSL News Radio. So
and not related at all to this, but since you bring up Brett Hangeman, good thing he did not go on The Bachelorette earlier in the year, as that relationship has already fizzled out. So probably a smart move there by Brett Hangeman. Just a little dose of reality TV for you guys.
Well, wasn't the Bachelorette, it was Claire, right? Was the season he was going to go on. And then she just bailed on everyone. Sorry for the spoiler, anyone, but she just bailed.
Well, she chose someone, and they got engaged after like 9 days. Yeah. And no surprise, that didn't work out.
Yeah, what is that? Like, getting engaged in 9 days, like anyone that does that... I mean, I remember I got pressured into getting engaged because my cousin, he proposed to his girlfriend after meeting her like 3 months, and they were 3 months dating, and then he instantly proposed, and I'm like, uh-oh, my girlfriend, now my wife, she's going to be expecting a ring here soon, because I was like, yeah, I could take another year, a second year of dating, that's fine, we could do that. Nope, the clock was ticking. So all you people that just propose after 9 days, you're insane to me. You're nuts. Anyway, rest in peace, Larry King, former BYU fan for a little bit there. But all the latest news on KSLNewsRadio.com. We'll have traffic updates as well here on the station. BYU basketball taking on Pepperdine tonight. You can hear that as well here on KSL News Radio. 8 o'clock tip. Pre-game starts at 7 o'clock from the Marriott Center. No fans in the stands, once again. It's just going to be family and friends of the coaches and players of the team. But BYU and Pepperdine, we roll out whenever we preview these games. We roll out the three-pointer where we give you some stats, some key players, some bold predictions for tonight's matchup. And we'll start things off with a key stat to watch. What do you got, Matt?
Mine is 1.66, and that represents the average blocks per game right now for BYU forward slash center Matt Harms. And if he keeps up this current rate, Mitch, it would be seventh best in terms of blocks per game in BYU history. And I think defensively, he's been outstanding. And it's easy to look at his offensive numbers. And I think BYU fans, including myself, thought that he would produce more like what we saw against Portland. And that hasn't always been the case. But defensively, he's been steady throughout his time here at BYU. And that's going to be important, keeping Pepperdine away from the cylinder and out of the paint. And Matt Harms certainly helps with that. So keep an eye on Matt Harms defensively.
Not going to lie, it's fun when you see Matt Harms start to come, bring it all together. Because, you know, Pope has called him out a little bit. Like, hey, he's got to take on the role now of being a dominant force. He was kind of a rotational guy at Purdue. Now at BYU, they want him to be the alpha, be the top dog. He's a leader in that locker room. I think that's the great thing about him, is that he's a real good, I think, teammate. I think he's inserted himself into the program nicely. It's now just a matter of getting that production, because he said before the year, this is only going to be his 1 year. Like, he wants to go pro after this year, so he's got to ramp it up and continue to produce like he did on Thursday night. I like that stat on Matt Harms. For me, I'm going to go 0-5. That's Lorenzo Romar against BYU. Now, do you know the places? He's coached in a few different spots, Matt. Where has that record been compiled? Do you know that 0-5 record?
Hey, to be consistent with honesty, I do know, because you put it in our prep sheet, so I'm looking right at it. So I'm not going to answer,
dang it, I should've
but
known
but,
that.
But yes, I do know, thanks to you. So
how
thank
about
you.
This? Okay, 0-4. He's been the head coach. This is his second stint at Pepperdine. He coached there in the '90s, so he had a game with Pepperdine when Steve Cleveland was the head coach. So he's 0-4 as the head coach with Pepperdine against BYU. He's 0-1 when he was the head coach at Washington. And that was kind of a recent game. It was in the NIT a couple years back. I think Bill Walton was on the call, I want to say.
It was in Provo, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a good game. And I think that, gosh, I want to say Washington had a pretty good team. They had a former local guy that ended up going to the NBA for a little bit, Wilcox. The son of a former
CJ from Pleasant Grove, yes. Baby, represent the Vikings.
That's right. The former son of a former BYU great, and they lost that game. Washington did to BYU in the Marriott Center in the NIT. That was a really, really good game. But Romar just can't get a victory over BYU, and he's been coaching for 24 years. He had stops at Pepperdine, then St. Louis, then a long stint at Washington. Weird that they only played once in that time, because BYU and Washington, they got a rich history in football.
Was Dave Rice on the staff with him for a little bit?
That's a good question.
I want to say yes.
I think you're right. I think he might have been there for a little bit. I know he was an assistant, but I don't know if it was with Romar or if it was with the Jim Boeheim disciple that's up there now, up in Montlake. But yeah, Romar's been around for quite some time, and he's building up a nice roster with Pepperdine, so they'll be a tough test. Now, a player to watch in tonight's matchup, 8 o'clock tip. I'm going to go with Matt Harms. We just touched on it. I just want to see consistency night in, night out. I feel like the past two games, he's looked great, and I want to see this momentum continue to build, because come March, he's going to have to deliver big, and it could be a huge opportunity, a huge stage for him to make his claim that he is an NBA center, because that's his goal. He came to BYU for that reason, to get to the league, and let's see it continue to happen.
For me, it's Big Rich Harward, and nice. I got to say, before I compliment him, you know, there's so few people in the Marriott Center. We're lucky to get to go to these games and cover it.
Yes, we are.
And it's just a different dynamic with no fans. You see the players stretching on the court after the game. They sung happy birthday to some girl in the stands after the Portland game. And then lo and behold, as Coach Pope is on KSNO's radio with Greg Rebell, I see Big Rich come out of the locker room barefoot. Who walks barefoot on the basketball court? That's disgusting. I don't even walk barefoot in my own home. So, Rich, put on some socks, please. But other than that, He's scored double figures in five of his last six games. He's been a force off the bench. That bench unit is so good for BYU. And his emergence in the last, month and a half, has really been huge for BYU. Because I remember at the beginning of the year, I'm like, Big Rich, I'm not seeing it. Where's the physical presence? Where's the domination? Well, we've been seeing it now consistently for over a month, and he's just been a shot in the arm for BYU.
I'd much rather walk barefoot on the Marriott Center floor than, say, a locker room floor with, like, showers.
Like, you know he's doing it in the locker room floor.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing it on the hardwood.
That's why I bring it up. He says he's going barefoot everywhere. Like, he gets in the shower in the locker room. He's just barefoot. He's not doing the sandals at all. Like, he's not that guy. He's just barefooting it up. Like, hey, that's Big Rich. I like the guy. He's got a ton of personality. He's a fun guy to talk
to. Yeah, he's great.
Bold prediction for tonight's game, Matt.
I'm going to say BYU shoots over 40% from the three-point line. That second half, maybe I'm taking too much stock into it, but they really responded against Portland. They were 9 of 17 from the three-point line in that second half. Connor Harding, he's someone who's really struggling. He hit a couple. Trevin Nell hit a couple. Spencer Johnson hit some. I think that's going to carry over because BYU just has not been in their home gym in such a long time. And now they have that second half where they shot so well, and they're right back at it 2 days later. So I'm going 40% from downtown tonight.
I like that a lot. I would love to see that. For me, it's going to be in the turnovers. BYU, surprisingly, is 221st nationally in turnover margin. They've been prone to cough up the basketball a little bit. Sometimes there's been games where Barcelo has got six or seven turnovers, a little bit loose with it. I'm going to say BYU, bold prediction, they have less than five turnovers tonight. And I think that would be bold because, you know, when you got a guy like Colby Ross from Pepperdine, he can create some issues for BYU's backcourt. But I think BYU takes care of the basketball. I think BYU comes away with a victory tonight. I think BYU wins by double figures. I think that this is going to be a nice quality win. And it'll be interesting to see how they adjust coming up on Wednesday against the same Pepperdine squad. So that's our three-pointer every single week here on the program. We preview a BYU basketball game. And we got to take a break. On the other side, we'll put a bow on the show and get to the two-minute drill. Any stories we might have missed here on BYU Sports, we'll get you caught up in the two-minute drill next here on Cougar Sports Saturday.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.